There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 617, February 5, 2013. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Raven Hair, Ruby Lips, Sparks Fly from Flacco's Tips. The San Francisco Copernicus experiment did not work out. So sad.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, the 2013 F1 cars are out. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Marussia has issues with the rear suspension in Jerez, and McLaren looks very fast out of the box. And of course, we've got Motorsports Mondial with the king, the man himself, back in town. Nas, welcome to the studios. How are you?
Very good, sir. Very pleased to say that trip to Daytona was very exciting. We'll talk about it later. And we also have from Daytona a Florida Fresh interview with Felipe.
And this is going to be a special interview on this podcast.
Si, senor.
Wunderbar.
Very good.
Wunderbar. Anyway, we have it. The cars are starting to roll out. Actually, most of them are out significantly. We're talking Ferrari F138, the new RB9, the McLaren. The Caterham looks just the same as last year, and a lot of people got a nose job.
Yes. That is very true.
Yes, and I think the Ferrari looks pretty good this time. It didn't have that scary look we saw last year, and Felipe Massa himself said, everything is wonderful, just a few bugs to work out, but it's a completely different story from last year when they had serious, serious issues. And pretty much the big question of the day in Jerez was dealing with the new Pirelli tires. But other than that, everybody looks pretty good. Now, the Red Bull stuck with their platypus nose. So did Caterham. Of course, McLaren had a smooth nose yet last year. But for me, I thought the Ferrari really looked good.
Well, you know, first of all, fans are excited, and so am I. Nothing better than Formula One cars on the track. Like you say, talk of the town is who has the best-looking car. You like the Ferrari, and I think it's partly because of who is driving the car or who will be driving the car. But the new Sauber and its gray livery is getting a lot of kudos. McLaren definitely looks very good. And I like the color scheme of the Caterham. It's very nicely done. And what I would like to know from Caterham, they have Airbus and GE on their logos. I want to know how much real money they are paying out. Is this just some sort of a deal where, you know, Captain Tony Fernandez, AirAsia Airlines, has a lot of Airbus planes possibly powered by GE engine. So I don't know. But I sure would like to know, because I like to know this kind of stuff. Going back to Ferrari, why do you like that car over Sauber and Ferrari?
Well, Ferrari, I like the car because it looks good. They smoothed out the nose. It's a super high nose. I love the high nose. I think it's good looking. And they are not going to fall against the pressure of 2012. With not giving Fernando the car he deserves as El Machismo.
Well, that's very true. He should be in a competitive machine this year, hopefully. But I think in the next few days, because this testing is going on for several days, I think by the end of the third day, we'll have a pretty good idea where, you know, what's happening at the front of the pack.
I thought the Lotus F1 looked good, too. Of course, these cars aren't changing too much this season because the rules have changed very, very little. But still, Romain Grosjean, third fastest, as you will note, and still Mark Webber in the RB9, which is boy, that unveiling of the RB9 with that paint job. Some people called it garish and gauche with all the purple and the flu-flu and the fla-fla. But still, I thought it was a great presentation. Red Bull doing an outstanding job, and I'm sure Adrian Newey will be on the ball.
Yeah, Romain Grosjean, actually, he was on Tuesday fastest for most of the day and ended up, like you said, third fastest after completing 54 laps. And his low key teammate or no key teammate will be testing the car soon. But Romain, you know, they asked him about the car, and his response was that it was quick from lap one. So all I can say is watch out, Seb and JB.
Exactly.
If he's starting on the front two rows, you know, watch out. Objection in rear view mirrors may be faster than they appear.
Very, very true. But still, I think this season, remember how we talked about last year how, you know, there was just so little difference between the top 10 drivers, the top 10 cars. Everything was such a tight proportion in terms of tenths of a second and how exciting it was. I think it's just going to be the same this year. They're going to have a few races where they're going to cope with the new Pirellis. The Pirelli compounds are going to change a little bit. But in the end, I think we are going to have a very similar season to last year.
Yeah, I think as always, you know, two or three teams will be up there most of the time. One of them will be the, you know, the big dog or the big bull, I think. And Mark Webber, you mentioned, he was second only to fastest man of the day, Mr. Jenson Button. Mark Webber did 73 laps, but shockingly, and again, this is only day one, he was 0.848 second behind Jessica's boyfriend.
Ooh, bravo, bravo, bravo.
But I think the start of the season will be pretty much how the season ended. McLaren very competitive, and Red Bull, you know, less said the better.
Well, I think all eyes are also on Lewis Hamilton's new team, AMG Petronas Mercedes, or however you want to say it. They came out quick, but had some temperamental mechanical issues, or perhaps electrical issues. But still, Nico Rosberg came out, and it's going to be very interesting. I think once Lewis Hamilton steps into the Mercedes, the press will be attentive.
Yeah, I think they watched too much of the Super Bowl, so they had electrical issues.
Yes, exactly. Keep up the good work, Nasser. But still, very exciting stuff. Even Force India looked pretty good. And I thought the big news for me was Toro Rosso switching to Renault.
Yeah, Renault Turbo Power. And I have very...
The teapot is back in town.
I have extremely fond memories of Renault Turbo, the René Arnoux days, the Alain Prost and Jean-Pierre Jabouille and René Arnoux, you know, Arnoux, I said already. And it just was a fantastic era for motor racing. But that will be interesting. You know, both of them will go to Renault Turbo. So I'm excited about that. But talking of JB, Jenson Button, the numero uno at McLaren, he set the fastest time on the opening day at 1.18.861 after pumping 37 laps of the circuit. And any time I hear about Jerez de la Frontera or something like that, it was the scene of the epic battle between Senna and Mansell back in 1986. Tio Pepe, chica.
Well,
and say again?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to comment that, let's not forget, last year, first race of the season, who looked great? McLaren.
Yes.
And then they faltered.
Yes.
So maybe they should tone it back a little bit.
But they did win the last race of the season also.
Sacré bleu.
Yeah. And as far as Mercedes is concerned, not the best start for Mr. Nico Rosberg. He had to park his car after only a few laps with some, as you mentioned, electrical issues, which prevented any further running on the opening day at Jerez in Viva España. And Lou Hamm will be at the wheel pretty soon. But I think it will be like the around the third, fourth day, where we're going to see some real speed from different teams.
Absolutely, absolutely. Everybody's just trying to get everything to work out. Fernando is still at home in his sauna or jacuzzi. And Lewis Hamilton is sort of emulating that. You know, the stars don't want to come out too quickly. So it's going to be very interesting when the big guns, I mean the serious weapons, come out and start testing NRS. Not the De La Rosas or the Webers, but the big boys. When we have the Vettels, when we have the Fernandos, the Hamiltons, then, God, I can't wait.
The last two are very enticing and exciting, Senor.
Absolutely.
Okay, Paul Di Resta, who is still without a teammate at Force India, was fourth fastest after doing 89 laps. His time was 1.4 seconds off the pace set by Button, but these are early days and first day of testing.
And I have to admit, the unveiling of Force India's car, with the lonely Paul Di Resta there, usually you're so used to seeing two drivers, and then maybe the team principal, like at Ferrari, where you have Felipe Massa, you have Fernando, Domenicali, you have Montezemolo, La Familia. There's a lot of hugging. At Force India, you got Paul Di Resta, and that's it.
You know what they could have done? They could have these life-size posters of Jules Bianchi and what's the other guy?
The other guy.
Adrian Sutil.
Yeah.
And then they could have asked, Paul Di Resta to
trip down, choose.
Yeah, trip down one of them and see last man standing gets the second seat. But I think it's going to come down between Jules Bianchi, and who is managed by Nicola Todd, and Mr. Adrian Sutil, who has quite a bit of experience, obviously goes very well in the wet. But let's see what happens. I'm kind of surprised they still have not made a decision.
I am too, and I think, I don't know if, I don't want to say this is a first, but it's very unusual to not have your driver lineup locked in.
Yeah, and this is a pretty decent team. I mean, this is no HRT or anything like that. So I'm kind of surprised. And you mentioned Toro Rosso earlier. Mr. Daniel Ricciardo was fifth, and he completed 70 laps. And he's feeling very comfortable in Formula 1 now. So it looks like his seat is pretty much assured. And I think Jean-Éric Vergne is going to do very good too. He was not too far behind from Ricciardo, but I have a lot of faith in him that he will pull it through, just like I have with Jules Bianchi, that given the right opportunity, he will do well. Also, Esteban Gutierrez. He's got his work cut out. Not only is he in Formula 1, but his teammate is what you would call a whippersnapper, Nico Hülkenberg. So it'll be exciting.
Yes, and I think the big interest at Sauber will be Nico.
Yeah, and he's German-speaking, so he's going to blend in very well. And, I believe the Sauber team, Hinwil, is also a German-speaking part of... and I do know that Miss Monisha Kaltenborn does speak fluent German.
Yeah, but my interest is how well will Esteban be able to adapt to coming up the ranks fairly quickly?
You know, I tell you, in terms of his talent, this he needs to take... If he takes Formula 1... with the approach that he did in F3 Euro Series, it's going to be a complete disaster, where he himself told me that, he was trying very hard to get a good result and ended up making a lot of mistakes. I mean, if you look at it, it was kind of like watching Felipe Nasr this year in his rookie year in GP2 and some other talented drivers, where at times they were putting on a very good performance, making very good moves, and it just did not have the depth of experience which would come out every now and then. So I think he really needs to... his seat, this is not a situation where somebody is standing next to him and telling him, hey, you got to qualify in the top 10 or you're out. Flavio is not his boss, in other words. So I think if he settles down, as they say, keep calm and carry on, I think he will go far.
Okay.
But it's really... if he starts to match or beat Hülkenberg from day one, then I think he's asking for trouble. And he's a smart kid. I think he will pace himself. But you never know. I mean, I still cannot believe how his compadre, Sergio Perez, has just like totally proven me wrong. And good for him. I really thought, I even said it in a podcast when he first came, that I thought they'll replace him in his first year before the first season. And I said that only because based on his previous experiences.
Yeah, and it's unbelievable that he's replaced Lewis Hamilton at McLaren.
Yeah, and... He really put Kamui Kobayashi does not have a ride now because of him, and he was very exciting always from his first two races. So that, these guys, it's like Romain Grosjean. These people have the speed, they have the talent. It's just a matter of harnessing the power and make it happen. But Esteban is somebody we're just a click or a phone call away. So I would definitely want to see this kid succeed.
Absolutely. Now, of course, the big pressure is going to be for Felipe Massa to come up to speed at the beginning of the season and not in the last three races of the season
and get lots
of points.
He has a lot of speed, the anti-deodorant. He has a lot of it.
I understand.
You're talking about performance speed.
Absolutely.
Well,
in other words, helping the team win the world championship.
Well, he has a problem.
He has
the same problem that Heikki Kovalainen had when he went to McLaren.
I remember that problem.
His car. I have fallen and my teammate is not helping me. It's sad, but I mean, you know, I was thinking about Massa the other day. I mean, sure, it's a disaster. You cannot win a championship and he came so close. But on the other hand, you know, they make a lot of money. They've had a lot of success. He has won a lot of races against Schumacher, against Raikkonen, and not yet against Nando. But you know, he's very well respected by fellow drivers. So it's been a good life for him. And, you know, talking of Massa, he did 64 laps and was number 6 on the timesheet on Tuesday. And we were talking about Sauber drivers. Nico Hülkenberg was 7th, and he completed 79 laps. And interestingly, both the Sauber drivers for 2013, Hülkenberg and Esteban Gutierrez, plus their reserve driver Robin Friens, all drove for Kaufman Racing in Formula BMW in their younger days. And we can have access to these people fairly easily.
Exactly. Thank you, NASA.
So F1 Weekly has made it to F1.
We have made it to F1. Yeah. We just haven't really made it. The scope of everything else.
Well, I think another season we will be able to hopefully. I'm working on this on the background, but it's very hard to get F1 credentials. But I have some ideas, and hopefully it will happen.
Excellent. Keep up the good work, man.
If it does not happen, we'll have a few friends on the grid. Maybe we can slide in through them.
We could sneak in?
Yeah, sneak in and just, you know, we may not be able to report from there, but we can come back with a goodie bag. Goodie back from Goodwood.
We always do the best we can for the people.
Yes, sir. And most of our people do appreciate that, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So anyway, we've got lots of testing. Continue with some great information, Ness.
Well, two rookies, and when I say two rookies, of course, F1 rookies, and GP2 race winners were 10th and 11th. Guido van der Garde from Netherlands, also known as Giga. He's, of course, now confirmed at Caterham, bringing sponsorship from McGregor, and was 10th on Tuesday. Young English driver Max Chilton was 11th for Marussia, over 5 seconds off the pace of the leading car. And like you mentioned, he crashed after suffering a suspension failure. And this is the same team that in the first race realized halfway through the race, oops, the fuel tank is a little bit, wee bit smaller than it should have been to finish the race. But I do expect more of the same at the start of the season and throughout the rest of the testing. And most fans will be waiting to see if Nando and Ferrari have closed the gap on Red Bull / McLaren. And what will LCH do at MB?
You know what? That is going to be the excitement. The top five, including Kimi Raikkonen continuing his form, Romain Grosjean not crashing. There's a lot to be watching in the top five teams. And Lewis Hamilton, what he does with Nico Rosberg is going to be very interesting. Will the cage rattling begin?
Where do you expect the cage rattling, seriously?
You know what? I expected it.
Let's go team by team. Nando, Ferrari, there will be no
Ferrari
cage. There will be
no
cage rattling.
No.
Do you expect cage rattling at McLaren?
Yes.
Sergio
mm-hmm. Perez will take a little while to get up to speed with the team. He'll be intimidated by Jenson Button's, how would you put it?
TF.
Exactly. And we'll be looking at Lewis Hamilton to see what he does with Nico Rosberg. We'll look, Kimi Raikkonen and Romain Grosjean, they're both very, very quick. What's great about Kimi Raikkonen, he stays out of trouble.
Yeah.
So Romain has to stay out of trouble. I mean, it's a must. And, of course, I think the big question is how Nico Hülkenberg will lift and continue the success that Sergio Perez had brought to Sauber in terms of podiums and the almost win.
Yeah, well, it depends on the package, as is always the case. But I do, in terms of cage rattling, I do not expect Esteban Gutierrez to cage rattle Nico Hülkenberg in the first half of the season. I do expect something, you know, push and shove in the second half, like Hülkenberg did to Paul Di Resta last year. As much as I would like to see, this is just my opinion, I don't think Sergio Perez will rattle Jenson Button's cage. The guy is a very, and this is how I try to put two and two together. Everybody thought Jenson Button was going to get blown away by Lewis.
We thought that, boy.
Did not happen. And if you look at the numbers, points scored, races won, blah, 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 Jenson held his TF very high. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So he's as good as Lewis Hamilton, if not better. And that's saying quite a bit. It's just like Lewis Hamilton, who is he replacing? Michael Schumacher. So the people who hired him and let Schumacher go must have a very high opinion of him.
Absolutely.
So is Sergio Perez as good as Lewis Hamilton? I don't think so.
I don't want to be mean.
No, no, yeah, but it's just we're looking at racing results.
Data, you know? Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's going to be interesting because now Jensen is really embedded in McLaren. He's not the new guy anymore. He's not going in the lion's den. He is the lion.
He's the homegrown Brit.
Bloody this and bloody that.
Yes.
Exactly. He's the bloke in the team, and the muchacho is going to have to prove himself.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be very, very interesting. We have a lot of interesting things to focus on, but really the most important one, Nasser.
No, hold on, please. Muchacho, he can talk to a fellow driver in his own Spanish language and find out that Señor Dennis is not going to slow down Jenson Button so he can catch up and pass him.
That's true.
So it's a tough going, but yes. Welcome to Formula One.
But let's get real. The big news and the biggest news is going to be whether Ferrari has put it together or if they haven't.
Exactly. I agree with you.
I think that's what everybody will be watching, including the Pope.
He's watching Formula One these days?
Oh, every day. Every day. Now, let's talk about Sebastian Vettel.
What would you like to talk about him?
Well, he's been out in the press. He's a really fun guy.
Well, you know something? It's one of those things, you know. Someday, Mark Webber will say, I would have been world champion if there was no Sebastian Vettel.
That's true.
Just like quite a few people say, I could have been champion at Ferrari if there was they hadn't hired Michael Schumacher. So Mark Webber is another thing, you know. I just remember, I've said this before, the very first interview that was done when Mark Webber and Sebastian Vettel became teammates, it was, I don't know, done in a garden or whatever, backyard. They're sitting there, and Sebastian was, you know, still young. I was, you know, very young then. And just, I don't want to use the word cockiness or arrogance, but just the confidence he had. And the first thing he said in racing, the first person you have to beat is your teammate. And so that's my goal. That's my first goal. And I just had this feeling, you know, that this kid is just going to overpower this experienced guy. And I just cannot see Mark Webber in a normal course of business win a championship with Sebastian Vettel as teammate.
So do you think Sebastian Vettel is stoppable in 2013?
Well, you know, nobody walks on water. I mean, we've seen if he does not have the best package, other people will win races. And my money right now, without knowing what the times are, you know, after the first stage of testing, one day it's not going to tell us anything. But my money on championship would be on Sebastian Vettel or Jenson Button, again, based on performance from last year and how the season was going.
That's true.
And I think a talent like Lewis Hamilton, just like Raikkonen last year, will find a way to win a race. It may not happen if they don't have the best package or are very competitive. Now we have a lot of races in monsoon countries, you know, South Asia, Korea, Sao Paulo is always rain. If there's a rain, he may pull out a
performance. But what about the political circumstances at Mercedes? For a moment there, it looked like Ross Brawn was going to be pushed out. He said, no way, I'm here until I want to leave. There seems to be some pressure from the board to maybe change upper management at Mercedes. Do you think that's going to unsettle this team, this kind of political atmosphere?
First of all, even before you know, Mercedes became hogwashed. They had too many chiefs. There are too many, you know, top technical people there. And I'm sure Mercedes is throwing a lot of money and doing what they can. But there are people saying that moving Norbert Hogg and bringing other people, especially a high-profile clientele like a driver like Lewis Hamilton, they may be getting ready to, you know, bail out of being a team owner, which frankly will not surprise me if this team does not win races another year or two.
Well, I think that's why they brought in Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
That way they feel comfortable. They know they've got the young lineup, the best drivers they could possibly hope to get. And with, if they can't win with this kind of recipe, no, Mercedes won't last.
Yeah, and you know, Toto Wolff has bailed out from Williams and come here. And when I read that statement about you were referring to from Ross Brawn, I'm going nowhere. I don't know the facts, but I just have a feeling he may have some shareholding in the team still.
Correct.
In some sort of a clause or a contract that he will remain for so many years. So let's see what happens. Who knows? It may turn into Brawn for 1 year, and maybe they'll come up with another trick thing and win the championship again.
Yeah.
With Lewis Hamilton.
Not going to happen, Nasser. LCH will win some races this year. I believe so.
Yeah. But let me tell you, when you put, it's like, you know, when you put a tiger in a cage, you know, if he cannot break out, he's going to just be very agitated. And we've seen this, you know. I mean, you know what happens when you put a Sebastian Vettel in 14th place at the start of a race, or a Schumacher or a Senna. These people are going to push people out and try to get to the front.
Absolutely. No, it's going to be interesting to see when the big guns hit the testing, but it was fun to finally have Formula One back.
Oh, yes.
Because, boy, for a moment there, I was getting a little dizzy.
Yeah, you know, it's good to see in Formula One and in the news and this and that. So, game on, baby.
Yeah. So, but apparently, Timo Glock, Bruno Senna, they've gotten some rides in other formulas. Unfortunately, nothing for our friend Kamui Kobayashi. Kamui.
Yeah, he raised about $8-9 million from his, you know, campaign he had going, which I don't know. Well, based on what I know, I think he started way too late. But I'm very, very surprised Japan having so many big corporations, Sony, Panasonic, Toshiba, you know, Toyota, whatever, Matsuda, that they could not come up with some sort of, you know, throw him a bone to stay in Formula One.
I agree, and I'm really disappointed about it. I'm going to miss Kamui.
Yeah, especially after the performance in at Suzuka.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, unforgettable.
Yeah, I was, and the kids, all the people chanting Kamui, that was very impressive. But he's saying that he will try to come back next year, 2014. So we wish
with
him
Scorpion.
Well. Scorpion?
Yeah, they're buying HRT. They might have missed the boat, but I'm sure
Scorpion. I have a perfect
USF1.
No, I have a perfect sponsor for them.
Mm.
You know the Italian tile maker Ranio.
Yes,
they used to sponsor Eros.
Mm-hmm.
And you speak some Italian. You know what Ranio is in
Italiano.
Italian. Scorpion, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, or Spider, something like that.
Something like that. We don't know. We don't know nothing.
But that since you brought it up, that Ranio logo, the orange, and then, you know.
See?
That was beautiful.
I'm thinking.
That was beautiful.
So there's possibilities there.
Yeah. Let's see if this scorpion has any bite.
Or any poison.
Yeah. Poison would be a good name for a team. Especially poison? especially if Ken Anderson is the head man.
The designer?
Poison.
Okay, now we're off.
Okay. Okay, talking of Bruno, no Formula Uno for Bruno. The Brazilian has made a smart decision and joined the Gulf-sponsored Aston Martin team for Le Mans and World Endurance Championship, and Bruno will also be racing at Sebring 12 Hours. So if anybody wants to go and talk to him, you know, here's your opportunity. Timo Glock, another F1 refugee. You don't have to be. Thank you very much. After losing his seat at Marussia, will be driving for MTech BMW team in DTM, where his teammate will be an old friend of F1 Weekly, Marco Wittmann. And Mark Whitman at one time was on his way. He was managed by Willy Weber, but then his train got sort of derailed. The series winner this year was Canadian Bruno Spengler. He will have two North Americans as challengers, fellow BMW racer from Sacramento, Joey Han, and fellow Canadian from Toronto, Robert Wickens.
Now, David Coulthard is retired from DTM, but what about Ralph?
I don't know about Ralph.
No news on Ralph.
Yeah, he might be there, he might not be there, but his buddy is with the DC, so he may just go to Tahiti with him.
That's true. That's
and, you know, F1 Weekly will be happy to provide update and Gesundheit as the season progresses, because we want to cover all the major motorsport agendas.
Understood.
Anything else, sir?
Well, you know, I was thinking...
Nando.
Fernando. No, I can't wait to see Nando in the car. I want to get his opinion, because really, his opinion is the one that counts for Domenicali and Montezemolo.
That we all know by now.
Yeah. No, it's going to be interesting at Ferrari, because if they don't produce... I mean, how many TVs can one break?
Yeah. Do you think when they're having a debriefing and Nando is saying something and then Felipe wants to say something and they, oh, shut up.
They go, cállate, por favor.
That's a strange situation.
Well, I don't think Massa is in those meetings. Oh, he's getting coffee.
He's stuff. Access denied.
Yes, access
like
denied.
Like at work, you want to go to a certain website, access
absolutely.
Denied.
Absolutely.
That will be pretty. But, you know, another series is also doing preseason testing this week at Sepang, and that would be a series I enjoy very much. MotoGP. Danny Pedrosa on a Honda was the fastest on day one. Casey Stoner is gone from the series to race on four wheels in his native Australia, so we wish him well. Rossi is back on Yamaha, and it will be interesting to see if he can get his mojo back, as teammate Jorge Lorenzo is now a very experienced and formidable competitor. The season starts under the stars of Qatar on April 7 at Losail Circuit. There are three races in the U.S. this year, which is very impressive, starting with round two in Austin. Then, of course, they'll have one in at Indy and, of course, here in Laguna Seca.
Do you think the doctor still has it, or is it really impossible to go back home?
No, I think doctor still has it, but the competition has caught up. You know, when Rossi first came to MotoGP, Rossi was at the top and he came as his teammate. If I remember correctly... Lorenzo started the first two races from pole position. If you can get pole position with Rossi on top as your teammate, you're damn good. And the other image I have of Lorenzo from that season is I saw him in more pictures up in the air than on the bike. He had a lot of crashes. And when they came to Laguna Seca on the opening lap, you know, when you go towards the climb towards the corkscrew, I saw him high in the air. He had a crash there also. He's very good.
That's outstanding, Nas.
And Danny Pedrosa is like the Felipe Massa or Mark Webber of two wheels.
Right.
Good enough, but yes.
Well, but we need those.
Oh, yeah, you have to have. Yeah, we don't need six cars run. We don't need the 2005 U.S. Grand Prix grid.
Thank you very much, Nasser. Keep up the good work. Now, let's talk about your trip to Daytona, how it went.
Daytona, Florida, USA.
Exactly. Well, the hot dogs, the PBR.
Let me just tell you.
I know this is an international jet set community, and it was much more than that.
This was the Daytona trip and the Hardy Familia. We all got together at Daytona. Okay. This, I'm going to say it only once, believe it or not, one of the best motorsport trips I have ever made. Fantastic place, fantastic try. And most important, an excellent fan-friendly track official. They were very, very nice and friendly. And like I was talking to, you know, Tommy and Chris, if you're running around with a big VIP badge or your last name is France and they're treating you very well, one understand. But, you know, moi, just another Joe Schmuck from, you know, Karachi and Cali showing up there in Florida and being treated so nicely. What happened just before the start of the race... they allow you to go on the grid, right? So, which was very cool. I was talking to some drivers there, and then they started telling everybody to, you know, leave the track. And I asked the guy, "How do I get?" Because Chris's dad, Tommy, had called me. He was in the grandstand, and the way to get there was pretty long way with the tram and all that. And one guy says to me, "Just run across the track. They have small bridges there, and if they're still down, you can just, you know, walk up that way." I thought it was very cool. This was just a few minutes before the cars got to the track. So I had a really great time. And with Tommy and Chris, we had some fine meal at Cracker Barrel. And chicken fried chicken is highly recommended by the D. Hardy family.
Is it?
It is. You should try it next time you were there. And Chris was hustling for a spot on a team and was given the opportunity to work with the TRG team, which is the racers group. I believe they're based out of Sears Point here in Northern California. So it was a very good trip. I enjoyed them. They drove all the way from Louisiana to Florida. And so it worked out well for everybody. And as far as, you know, I got there on, I got to the track on Friday, late Friday afternoon. And initially, the one guy I really wanted to interview, because we don't get a lot of chances with him, is our man, Fisico.
Fisico, bravo, bravo.
Yeah, Giancarlo Fisichella from Roma. And, but, you know, by the time I got there, it made it difficult to do some interviews. And I did make contact with his PR guy, Conrad. He was driving for a Canadian-based outfit with support from Ferrari. And so I gave him my card. He said, we'll try to see if we can arrange a phone interview or something like that. But nothing like meeting of the flesh, as my friend would say. So I'll try to, you know, they come here and race at Salt Lake City, the, what is it called, Miller Motorsports Park. But Fisico, you know, long history in Formula One, like Ricardo Patrese. So Moa would like to sit down and have some cappuccino and talk automobilismo with him.
We'll get Fisico.
Yeah. And, you know, very, very interestingly, I'm talking to this guy, Conrad, who was the PR guy that day for the team, AIM Motorsports from Canada. And he said, you know, we worked with so-and-so, and one of our drivers have made it to Formula One. And I said, who's your driver in Formula One now? He goes, Esteban Gutierrez.
It's a small world, Nasser.
Yeah. What happened, he was with a different team. I think they were called Auto Technica. They were also from, I believe, Canada. And I asked him, how was he? And he, just like everybody I've spoken to, had nothing but high praises for him. So that's very good. And talking of Formula BMW, man who won the U.S. championship, I believe it was 2007, and an old friend of F1 Weekly, actually we interviewed him when they raced here in San Jose.
Yes, I remember that.
San Jose Grand Prix. Daniel Murad, he was also at Daytona as a spectator, and he is very close to making a racing comeback. And he says right now his lips are sealed, but pretty soon he will have some good news, so we wish him all the best. And now, of course, I went there to meet my long-distance cousin, Felipe, not Massa, Felipe Nasser. We missed out on one Felipe, so Brazil has provided another Felipe. Anyway, he was racing for the second time in the Daytona 24 Hours. Last year, he was on the podium in third place. And this year, he was racing with Action Express, and teammates included Nelson Piquet Jr. and Christian Fittipaldi. And at one time, I'm sitting on his go-kart or whatever, you know, vehicle they use. And so he says to me, we'll wait for a few minutes for my teammates to come, and then we'll all go, you know, to the family trailer and all that. And the two teammates came, Christian Fittipaldi and Nelson Piquet. And I had got a good conversation with Christian Fittipaldi. You know, interestingly, I told him, I said, hey, I don't know if you remember this, but some years ago, we interviewed you at Sears Point, and you were there too. He says to me, if you interviewed me at Sears Point in a Grand Am race, that was not a few years ago. That was a long time ago. So he was very nice. Okay, now what happened, he told me that his father was also there. And his father is, of course, Wilson Fittipaldi, older brother of Emerson Fittipaldi. So I requested him, I would love to meet your papa. He says, no problem, just come. So I got to meet Wilson, and we chatted a little bit. There was some, you know, family get-together going on at that time. So I asked him, you know, if I come to Sao Paulo next time, which I very much would like to do, will it be possible to sit down and have an interview with you and your younger brother? And he said, yes, it's very possible. And he gave me his card. And, of course, you read the Joe Ramirez's book. That is one where he's talking about that after a race they got into an argument and everybody's yelling and screaming, and finally Wilson Fittipaldi tells Emerson Fittipaldi, shut up. And that's how he calmed the situation. So that will be brought up in a nice way. So there's a lot of history, racing history there. And I don't know if you know this guy, Richard Davila. He was an engineer. He still is. He's very well known also from Brazil. And he knew the Fittipaldi, you know, these kids, when they were kids. So I would like to go and meet all these people. And he's still working in Europe as an engineer. Very accomplished engineer, by the way. Okay. So, and I saw a lady there, which I initially did not recognize. And she's looking at me. It's like I'm looking at you and you looking at me. And it turns out to be Nelsinho's sister, Julia. And she's a very nice young lady. And she even asked me, he said, I gave you my dad's secretary's email. Were you able to reach her? Because I was trying to do an interview, which kind of surprised me because I met her in 2011 with Mr. Brazier at the British F3 race. At that time, she was Felipe Nasser's girlfriend. And so I said, no, I said, next time I'm coming to Brasilia, I said, I'd like to contact you and hopefully you can put me in touch with your so polite Papito. And she smiled and, you know, hopefully I would like to make a run to South America next year. This year I'm very busy with my karting project and other stuff. But I'm planning something south of the border and south of the equator and see what happens. So we have an interview with Felipe Nasser coming up later in the show. Please enjoy this conversation. And if all goes well, I will also see him and his familia at Sepang. I'm planning to go. And again, F1 Weekly is involved. I'll invite you to come and hang out with Mr. Mo Mansoor. You know, you remember his son, Kazim. So he's living in Kuala Lumpur these days. So I'm really looking forward to it. Especially not just motor race. Good to hang out with him and it's a part of the world I've never been to. Now, the fun continued. Even, you know, they talk about leaving Las Vegas. This was
leaving Las Vegas.
This is departing from Daytona. Okay, this was very awesome. The airport is right next. Have you ever been there?
No.
Okay, the airport. I mean, you always hear the airport is next, you know, right next to it, right? The airport is right next to the track, and you can see the track. Well, I'm talking about the tar fart. You know, not just the facility, when the plane lands and you can hear the car when you leave the arrival area, which was amazing. Very cool. And I flew back on Monday afternoon and both Alex Gurney and Memo Gidley were on the same flight from Daytona to Atlanta. And Alex Gurney is somebody I've known since he was like, I don't know, 7, 8 years old. And I've known Memo Gidley for a few years also. And Memo asked me what I was up to. And Memo, you know, has a very accomplished karting background, has written 4 books on the subject, and I happen to have one of them for my karting project in Karachi. So I told him what I was up to, and he got very excited, and he says, you know, why don't we hold a training, like a driving clinic there, a one-day driving clinic? So, and he's willing to help me out on other issues also. So I said, you know, let me get this thing rolling. Once it's all arranged, then maybe that's one of my game plans, you know, to take a professional karting driver and have him lay down some fast laps. And then we will know, we can judge local talent, how quick they really are. And, you know, hopefully we'll be surprised. When are you coming to the Karachi Kartodromo?
Oh, absolutely. I'll be coming probably right after you.
Really?
On my holiday.
On your holiday, yes. And by the way, the Daytona 24 Hours, did you watch any of it?
Of course.
You did?
Yeah. Juan Pablo Montoya.
Yeah,
he was some great stuff.
Yeah, Monty won, Scott Pruitt, Memo Ruiz with the teammates. And I believe this was Pruitt's 5th win, which equals the record of Hurley Hayward. So this was interesting, you know.
I thought Donahue winning the inaugural GTX entry was great. No, I loved it.
Yeah, he lost his ride or left the team. He was in the prototype division. So that's another, you know, linked to the old glory days of motor racing, Donahue. Okay, now I would like to say a word of thank you to a member of the F1 Weekly Familia, gentleman you met in Texas. And this is for Tim Schwartz. We met a few weeks ago at dinner for Motorsports Memories. And plans for the future include some mashed potatoes in Stella Artois near Malmedy. Young man is studying at Stanford and headed for Spa with his papa. And we are talking about, you know, I'm getting old. We need some regular contributors to the show. So we're talking to Tim and other people to do some monthly, you know, contribution. And they all love the zeros, you know. So maybe we'll have some feedback from listeners moving forward. Now, this was really, you know, Danica Patrick punched the ticket.
I know.
That was heartbreaker.
It's all coming out in the wash.
Yeah. And Ashley Judd is now on the Madeline McCoo program. One less bell to answer, one less egg to fry. That's very, very sad. What do you think Dario will do now?
I don't know, but at least he's got that cousin that's in Formula One he can call.
He has a cousin?
Believe it or not.
Wow.
I know, shocking, but true.
What's his name, Felipe Massa?
Something like that. It's some weird foreign name.
Do you think NBC Sports is going to mention that 10 times?
At least a couple of times.
Okay. Well, I'm waiting to see how their coverage will be.
It's going to be exciting and fun.
Really?
Yeah. That's all we got anyway.
Yeah. Well as long as you can
see. As a matter of fact, it's not on the BBC anymore. So what are we going to do now?
BBC has given up totally?
Completely.
Really?
Am I wrong?
I don't know. I don't know.
Are they still doing partial coverage?
I think so. I'm not sure. We can check with Mr. Brazier.
Mr. Brazier, why don't we check with the baby say?
You can do that too.
Thank you.
Okay, you know, it's been a long evening, so we must come to the famous final last word. Very important.
And these are always famous.
Oh, yeah, and they're coming from the top. Today they come from Sebastian Vettel when he was asked about his domination of Grand Prix racing. And this is on the web. We don't make stuff up here. The young man from Heppenheim said, and I quote, "World domination. I'm German, but I didn't say that, and I have no mustache." End of quote. Well, he sure has laid a siege on Mark Webber, which is now going well beyond 900 days. Very scary and Leningradsky. Thank you for your time. You keep the dime. Das Vidania from California.
Thank you, Naz, for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. And now, why don't we introduce this interview?
I need some Clamato. May I take a break, please?
Yes, one break coming up.
Okay, we'll just wrap it up. Okay, this interview is with Felipe Nasr. He is one of the hottest young talents in motor racing right now. This year, he has switched from Dam's team to Carlin team. Carlin team is the English team with whom he won the British F3 Championship. First 3 years in Europe, he won two championships, first in Formula BMW and then in British F3. Last year was his first year. And on the first podium in Sepang, he was on the podium and then had some issues, which he will talk about. And this year, he is all gung-ho to win the championship. And we have not had a Brazilian champion in GP2. Lucas de Grassi came close. So I wish him all the best. And he was very nice to me. So was his whole family. Got to spend a lot of time with them. So I wish them all the best. And please enjoy this chat with long-distance cousin Felipe Nasr.
Okay, folks, this is Daytona, Florida, USA. Sun is shining and cousin is smiling. Felipe, welcome back to F1 Weekly. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I think I'm quite tired by now, but again, it was a great experience to be back here. It's a good feeling to be here again, but at the same time, I was expecting to be finishing at least in the podium this year again. But that's race, you know. Sometimes things doesn't go as we plan, but I was glad to be with a top team in Action Express, putting a decent group of people together there to work with, to be sharing the car with two other Brazilians. It was a unique experience again. So I just feel like we could have been there, you know. But anyway, that happens.
Hey, good luck this year. Yeah. I'm excited to watch you. Okay?
I'll be watching you too.
Yeah, keep cheering us on, but I'm really excited to watch you.
Good man. Keep going?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So, as I said, it was a shame things didn't go well together. We've been running always in the top five during the race. At one point, I gave back the car leading a few laps. So, it was good to be there for a few laps. But at least, we had the potential to be in the podium, but as I said, that's racing. Sometimes goes right, sometimes goes wrong, but we must keep trying. So I'm really looking forward for next year to be back here.
You mentioned two other Brazilians. They had quite well-known racing names, both of them. Tell us about your teammates, please.
Well, I know both of them really well from endurance go-karts races in back in Brazil, because we're doing in groups of four too. So we always been doing those races together. So I know them for a few years. So but it was good to share with them this race. In such a big race, it's not like a home, any race. I mean, the 24 is something special, but. We're doing a pretty good job until Nelson, unfortunately, he hit the wall exiting the pits with cold tires, and he damaged the rear suspension quite badly. But anyway, that happens.
Nelson hit the wall. Have I heard this before?
Probably did.
Okay, we'll go on to the next question. Who was the other teammate? Tell us about him, please.
Well, then we had Brian Frisell, the American guy in the car, and let's talk about Christian first. Christian he's been in this, he's been doing this race for I don't know, maybe probably 10 years, so he's a well experienced guy, really good guy to work with, very I would say simple guy, easy going, and. I told him, if you guys ask me to be here again, I'm in. You know, I'm the first one to say yes. And for me, it was a pleasure to work with him. And we will see. I mean, we keep hoping for a better year next year. So,
you raced here last year, finished third, and what was really impressive, you were very quick in the first test session. And let me just tell you what your teammate said, team owner said after you left. He was asked about you. Would you like to have him again? And he said, I would love to have him back. If I don't have space for him, I will make space for him. So how was your first year here?
It was amazing. I think it couldn't be any better. And it was something unique. The feeling was, it was something special. And everything went right, you know, for the very first time in the race, very first time being in the 24. I just saw everything happening the right time, and I got adapted myself really quick here in the track, so we were flying. I mean, it was a great experience, and to finish third in such a big race for me was, for my career, was a big addition. So, I do really like the guys from Michael Shank Racing, because they did an awesome job last year, and I keep joking with them that we can always go even better. So it was a good feeling, that's all.
Now, you know, I was walking on the track, the banking is very steep. What was the thrill for you and excitement for you when you drove on the oval portion of the track last year, first time?
Well, it was, for me, I was impressed by everything, not only the banking, but the whole circuit, the whole structure, and how I was impressed with the car too, how quick they were, how much downforce they had, even knowing that it's a prototype, they had such a good amount of downforce, and we are doing like 310 km on the going into turn one, and I was amazed by that. I was really amazed by that, and the banking. I mean, I always been racing in Europe, so for the first time being in America, seeing something that big in Daytona, for me was really, really good.
You like the American racing scene and the American racing fans?
Yes, I mean, it's a different way of putting. I mean, in Europe, people seem to be like too serious sometimes, and they don't get the atmosphere right, and here just things go. It's a different way of putting. I don't want to say nothing wrong, but it's two different atmospheres, and the fans here, they love it. You know, this is something that. And that I was impressed by everything. Like even last year when I was about to start the race, and we had all these fans around the car, and it was like 10 minutes for the start, you know, of the race, and people still there. So it was, it's something they really appreciate, you know, to take the fans really close to the drivers and teams. But it's two kind of atmospheres. They work differently, but I do like both.
And what do you like more, cheeseburgers or hot dogs when you were racing here?
Cheeseburgers.
Very good. Okay, now a few more questions about your GP2 career. Last year you got into GP2 with Dan's team, and you were on the podium in your first race weekend in Malaysia, which was very impressive, very exciting. On a scale of 1 to 10, how did the season go for you, 10 being best?
Well, from my side, I would say 7, 6, because I mean, I was expecting more mistakes from myself than from the team, but it was the opposite. The team did so many mistakes that I was really surprised by that, because they just couldn't keep up the quality from both cars. And they just couldn't maintain the consistency in the both cars. So anyway, I think I did a decent job there. I grabbed some podiums, showed the speed for. I'm sure many people were impressed by that. Some good races coming from the back. And I'm really excited from this year, because I know I got a good package around me, being with Carly now, the team I won Formula 3 in 2011. And knowing the experience from the car, the tires, the series, the circuits. So I just can't wait to get things started.
Both teams have very pretty PR ladies. Which one do you prefer?
What do you mean? The PR?
The PR ladies, you know, the press relations
lady? From the GP2 paddock or from...
Well, you know, the F3, I'm talking about the British F3, Miss Stephanie, and the GP2 for Dan.
I mean, no, they're both very nice, different types. One is French, the other one is English. Steph is married, so
hands off,
and Claire, no, she's a nice girl, she's okay.
Okay, talking of French and English, you were in an English team, Carlin and Dan's being French. What is the main difference in terms of operation and how they move forward?
Well, from you want a comparison about both?
Yeah, the English mentality of racing and the French mentality of racing.
Well, the English mentality is the thing is, I'm really, really impressed by that, is because they are really flexible. They can turn around things that if they are not going in that way, they make things happen, you know. They try something different, they are not scared of doing decisions or taking the right decision or wrong, but at least they are doing something, they are trying. And that's something I really like by them, because...
And that's with which team?
That's Carlin. That's an English team. They, since Formula 3, I was, that was one of the things I got it from the English teams. They seem to work hard in a way. They are very flexible. And in the Dams team, for me, what I saw was all about politician inside the team. They were really trying to provide Valsecchi a better equipment, better people around his car, better engineers. And I was there by myself, you know, and I think the results I got was because I really worked hard for that. But if the team have gave me an extra support, I could easily have been in the top five of the championship. So.
Okay, in a racing team, when you were in Formula 3, Kevin Magnussen was your teammate, right?
Yes.
Do you prefer a very competitive teammate or you don't care?
I don't mind. I really don't mind. It can be anyone. It can be a good reference. It cannot be, but it's always to have someone. It's a better in a way. You have someone that has a good knowledge of the car and can put the team forward.
What is your game plan for 2013, young man? Second year in GP2 or GP2, as they say in Brazil.
It's full attack now. I mean, I think I'm ready for that. And as I said, I'm a much better driver now. Much more prepared, I would say, than I was last year, because I haven't done any testing before I get in when I got in Malaysia. I only drove the car for 5 times and got into a race weekend, so I'm feeling a lot more confident than last year.
Now, going from a very successful Formula BMW season to F3 and then very successful F3 to GP2, obviously different car, more power, more downforce, everything different. Have you had to make adjustments in your training regimen also as you're moving up the series?
Yeah, everything gets harder, I would say. You must train harder, you must keep yourself, your physical shape in a better way. And yeah, the way of driving the GP2 car is different than the Formula 3, so I had to change a few things in the driving style, but nothing big, you know. I mean, the GP2 is all about how you manage your tires, so that was something I learned through the year, and I'm ready to show that this year. So.
Well, I'll be watching that when I will be in Sepang. Okay, finally, appreciate your time. How about a message for listeners of F1 Weekly, please?
Well, I hope my cousin here will be watching the whole season and keep you guys posted. And I hope everybody can start supporting me. The ones that doesn't support should start now, because I think we have we can have a good time together in the future.
Absolutely. Obrigado, senor.
Felipe, thanks for being a member of the F1 Weekly Familia. Thanks, everyone, and good night.
Bye-bye.